Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
I have to tell you, there's been just a divine connection between the Rock Churches and us lately, and what God is doing in our hearts and what God is stirring inside the Rock Church. And up on this platform, our youth worship leader led us in worship today. We had La Roca Tracy, who is our La Roca pastor, leading us in worship today. We had Erica leading us in worship from Rock Church of Coachella Valley. You see what I'm saying? God is into unity and family because God created love, and it's the center of it all. And that's what these verses are about. And I'm, in a way, kind of, thank you, Mom, for taking us down that journey, because now I don't have to go there in my message, because I'm going to hit off our verse. I know many people, especially the men around here, have been like, what is that verse about? And I think God just has such a poetic way of doing things. I'm going to read out of Song of Solomon 8:6-7. It says, set me like a seal over your heart and wear me as an emblem on your arm. For love is as strong as death and jealousy as relentless as the grave. Love flares up like a blazing fire, a very adherent flame. Adherent means a loyal and devoted flame. No amount of water can quench this love. A raging flood cannot drown it out. A person tried to exchange it with all the wealth that they have for love, but then he would surely be rejected. You see, we as human beings look for love in many different avenues and many different places from many different people. And you're always going to be let down if you look for it on earthly realm basis. When we begin to understand that love only comes from the divine creator of the universe, because he truly is love, then we tap into something supernatural that is beyond what the world defines as love. And it goes beyond that, because you see, God is love. So then I'm tapping into who he is, and he's saying to me that that cannot be quenched, it can't be shaken, it's on fire for you. See, God is a jealous God after you. He wants all of you, every part of you, every thought you have, every passion that your desires to follow. God wants to be in every aspect of our life. But sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we don't take him seriously, especially as an American church, because we're not really persecuted like they are in other countries. And I want to say to you, let's wake up. Because the God in heaven, who so loved us that he died on a cross for us, is asking us to take a new step in our walk with him. He's asking us to go an extra mile on our daily routines for him. He's asking us to take our life and to no longer let it be ours, but to be his. You see, the beginning of this verse says, wear me, I brought my coat. I'm gonna put it on. And it says, wear me over your heart. Wear me as an emblem on your arm. When I wear this, it changes my look, right? Changes my outfit. It changes how it looks. It changes the eye and where your eyes land. All the creative people in here are like, yes, yes. The non-creative are like, I guess, I don't know. I'm really not that fashionista. But it changes. I no longer had this dark, gloomy shirt on, but now it's been lightened up and overtaken. And there's a different resemblance. I don't even know if that's a word, but I make them up, so just roll with me, okay? Because we resemble now something different. And that is what God is asking. Do you understand that I need you to wear me on your heart? Do you understand that I need you to wear me on your arm? Because my love is as jealous for you. It is so passionate that it's so as passionate as death. You go, I don't get that. Yes. You see, life comes out of death. How does that happen? When something's dead, it's dead, not in God's kingdom. Paul said to die is to gain, because you get to go be with Jesus. When he died on that cross, he rose again in 3 days. I'm a pastor. We bury people all the time. I'll tell you, the day we get, ask the girls in the office that take the phone calls. We get funeral requests and we get newborn baby requests. God just has a way of multiplying himself. When you think something is lying dormant in your life, don't give up on it. Keep praying for it, because it's not dead, because the God of heaven and earth hears your prayers. And he says, daughter, I need you to wear me right now in this hard time. I need you to put me on your arm in your hard time. I don't need you to let your fan burn out. Let your flame die down. You need to stir it up, girlfriend. You need to wear me, put me on well, and do what I've asked of you to do. You see, we're women and we can do anything, right? But sometimes we don't. We just don't. We don't go there. I'd rather not. I'm going to take the easy road out. I'm going to go see. But maybe God has asked you to do something uncomfortable. Maybe God is asking you to step out in faith for something you just were like, that's a bizarre thought. I don't know where that came from. Maybe he's launching you into a new business. Maybe he's launching you into, I don't know, maybe a profession that you never even dreamt of, but it's just something that's landed in your lap. And God is saying, would you pick it up? Because while you pick it up, you're going to be wearing me. And there are souls behind it. There are people that need to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ behind it. You are now a full-time minister. You understand my love. You are connected to the divine love and the divine reign of me. You see, God is so poetic in how he does it. Song of Solomon, sometimes I read it and I'm like, whoo, I'm embarrassed. Denise isn't, but I am. One time Dan and I read it, I'm like, Jesus, no, let's not. But I'll tell you, God's not embarrassed. He's jealous after us. In Deuteronomy 4:24, it says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. I want to look at David and Bathsheba and their son Solomon. I fought this story over and over in my spirit. It's been pondering on the inside of me for weeks now, and I'm like, where are you taking us with this, God? But then I realized what God did with Solomon. Here's Bathsheba and David. Do we all know the story of Bathsheba and David? David went after her. She was a married woman. Her husband was out in the fighting on the front lines for David. While he was gone, he took her in. And he slept with her. Then Uriah came back, and David tried to get him to go sleep with her because he found out she was pregnant. And then Uriah was like, no, I'm a good man. I'm not going to do that. David's like, gosh. So he had him killed, put him to the front of the line, had him killed. And then he thought he was good, right? So then he took her in, but he didn't marry her. And a prophet by the name of Nathan called him out on it, told him a story. And David got mad in the middle of that story. And he said, you're the man I'm talking about. Now remember, this is David, the man after God's own heart. How can that be? You see, God can use anyone who could be a mess up. All of us are capable of messing up. But there's a God always looking to bring back to life what was once dead. David had a son. He loved his son, but because of his son died. He was so broken before the God. He wept and he fasted and he repented. He married Bathsheba. She had another child. And this child that he had, I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there with me. I'll just read it to you. It says in 2 Samuel 12:24, then David confronted Bathsheba, comforted, as men do, Bathsheba, his wife, and he slept with her. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son, and David named him Solomon. But the Lord, and it meant the Lord loved the child. The Lord, and then he sent, verse 25, then he sent a word through Nathan the prophet that they should name him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded. Let's stop there for a second. God changed many names in the Bible, and they actually lived according to the name that God changed their name to. It was Saul, now it's Paul. It was Sarai, now it's Sarah. they lived according to their names because their names all meant something supernatural. It was every time that name was being said, it was being spoken over them. Jedidiah meant loved by God, okay? But they didn't use, it didn't stick. They called him Solomon. So here it is, David dies, but he says, God, I want to build a temple for you. And he says, no, your next generation is going to build this temple for me. And so David builds this altar and this temple, or no, I'm sorry, Solomon, I want to call him Jedidiah because I wish he would have just called himself that. And he builds this, and he's happy because he knows it's pleasing to God. He knows this is what God asked him to do. So as he builds this altar and they're done, they stack up all, like mom had showed you the pictures earlier, right? They stacked up all their sacrifices on it. And a big, powerful flame from heaven came down and scorched all of it at once. You talk about power. You talk about burning away. You talk about receiving the sacrifice. That's what God did that day. He said, I'm pleased. I love this. I'm into this, is what God was pretty much telling him. They went and they celebrated for 7 days. On the eighth day, God began to speak to him. And you see, here is Solomon, a young man who God said when he was born, I love this child. Life came after death. Favor came after that. He had a call on his life. But here he was, so loved by God. I'm going to move on. That Solomon later on, God says to him, I want you to go with me there. 2 Corinthians 7, 17 through 22. He said, as for you, if you are faithfully follow me, David, your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, and regulations, then I will establish a throne of dynasty, for I've made this covenant with your father, David, when I said, one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. It goes on, and he just talks to David about what he needs to do before God. In verse 22, and it says, and the answer will be because his prophet, because in verse 21 it says, and though the temple is now impressive, you see, we could do something, our sacrifice can be beautiful, fragrance before God. But if our hearts turn, God is warning him. If your hearts turn, if you allow other things to come in and to take a place that God needs to live and stay and dwell, this is what can happen. In verse 22 or 21, and though the temple is impressive now, all who pass by it will be appalled. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be because his people abandoned the Lord, the God their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt and worshiped other gods instead, and they bowed down before them. That is why he has brought all these disasters on them. Later in the story of Solomon's life, guess what happened? He had something like 700 wives. Talk about pervert. I mean, we were talking about this as a family. We're like, how is that even possible? You know, like, the sex therapist says it's not possible. But when you think about that, his wives turned his heart. They got into it, him. They got into there and he said, oh, what about this? Let's try this God. Let's worship this God. They had him making idols later in his life. And he threw it all away, but yet he was loved by God. We are the same today. We bring these beautiful sacrifices to the throne room, as you did up here. You laid it down at the altar and at the feet of Jesus, and you said, I'm leaving it there. It's a sacrifice of my praise because you love me so much. You see, I don't think you understand how loved you are by the one who created heaven and earth. He is the one who stops the oceans from coming onto the land. We prayed today, and I know he heard us. That hurricane went from a 5 to a 3 and didn't touch the part of Miami that it was supposed to. You see, you have more power than you know in your prayer. He heeds your voice. He longs for your relationship. He loves you deeply, but yet you don't position yourself in that place. You don't know your position. I can go and talk to my dad. I can approach my earthly father And I can say to him, Dad, right now I don't want you to be dad. I just want to talk and I just want to pour my heart out to you. And he'll listen. One time when I was so broken and I had just gotten beat up by an ex-boyfriend and I had to go home and show my dad my bloody face. He was standing out in the garden. He was watering the grass. And I remember he looked up and he was just shocked. And he just cried and he hugged me and he said, it's okay. It's okay. You see, that's the kind of Father God we have in heaven that says, come here. I love you so much. Just as he saw Solomon there and said, I love this child. Name him Jedidiah, loved by God. And yet they didn't even take it seriously. It never stuck. And at the end of Solomon's life, what would have happened if they would have, instead of calling him Solomon, would have called him Jedidiah? They would have been speaking, loved by God, loved by God, loved by God. Would he have stood into that position a little taller? Would he have walked down a different path like, I'm loved by God, I know who I am, my head is up high, no matter what's happened to me, my God's got my back. Would he have allowed all of those things and those gods that went before him that stole his heart? Would he have allowed that? I don't think so. You see, God sets us up, but we have to be listening. God tells us what to do, but we have to obey. God tells us where to go, but we have to follow the lead. And when we don't do that, it sets us off course. And the one who created us is from heaven going, seriously? Do you not understand my love and my sacrifice? Don't do that, daughter. Don't go there, daughter. Oh, don't say that. Come on. Walk in love. You don't have to retaliate. I'm the one who got your back. I'm the one who will be your defender. I'm the one that will be your provider. Let him go. Let him go. He's not going to take care of you anyways. I'm going to be the one that takes care of you. Why are you worrying about things you shouldn't worry about? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own, says God. You see, God has it all in his hand, but yet we so easily forget. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. That's who God is. That's who he is. So girls, can you remember just two quick things for me? Number one, say, I'm loved by God. Say it again. I'm loved by God. Say it again. I'm loved by God. Say it again. I'm loved by God. I need you to walk in that. Because I believe that we, if we can stand there and go, I'm loved by God. I might not like myself today, but I'm loved by God because he likes me. I don't like how I look today. Well, God created me. It doesn't matter. So I'm not going to offend him when I look in the mirror and I complain about myself. I'm loved by God no matter what person took advantage of me or no matter who didn't notice me on the job or what my husband did or didn't do for me. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God no matter what the kids say about me on the playground. And I'm loved by God no matter if I'm just by myself in a high school and just saying, God, I feel so alone because I feel like I'm the only one that loves you. You're not. There's an army rising up. I have a whole bunch of girls saying, I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. No matter what walk of life you are in here, don't disqualify your calling. Don't disqualify the love that God has given for you. He gave it all, and you're that valuable for him. Warning number two. Know you're loved by God, but warn number two, keep your flame lit. It's one of the hardest things to do because life gets in a routine. Do you notice that? I heard a minister just say the other day, you got to make room for peace. And I was like, oh, amen. So I pretty much ignore my family for a day and I said, I'm making room for peace. I'm not cooking today. I'm not washing your chonies. Like, we are making room for peace. And they were like, what? What's happening around here? You got to make room for peace, girls. Because when you're at peace, you can keep that flame lit. You can get into some prayer time. You can say, hi. Have you ever just done that with God? Hi. I just look up, hi. And I feel like he's like, hi. I've been waiting for you to talk to me today. You see, God is not that complicated. All he wants to do is be with you. All he wants to do is show you how powerful and mighty he is. He's devoted, he's passionate, he's in love, he's on fire for you, and nobody can take that from you. But you have to stir it up on the inside of you. You have to reignite your flame sometimes. Sometimes you gotta shake yourself up. Well, I don't feel like going to church again. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what I feel like, because I don't operate by my feelings. I operate by what the Word of God says, and I am more than a conqueror. Come on, kids, we're going to church. Come on, kids, I can't tell you how many times my parents did that to me. I don't feel like going to church today. Well, too bad. That's what we do. Get over it. And I'm so grateful they did, because all of us are serving God. We might have been through hell and high water, but all of us are serving God today. What you stand for with God, he will always back it. Even if you doesn't look like it now and you feel like the one who's the nagging, we need to get to church. Come on, husband, we need to do this. You come on, kids, we need to do this. And they're like, oh, mom, oh, whatever. You know, you keep holding on. You keep pressing through. You keep standing your faith. You keep saying, I'm loved by God and I know where I'm supposed to be. And when you don't feel like it, you do it anyways. When you don't feel strong, you stand up anyways, girls. When you don't feel like fanning the flame, you fan it anyways. Because not today, devil. You're not going to take me out. You're not going to take my family. You're not going to take my kids. Because I serve a God in heaven who gave everything for me. Everything. That man who let you down, that friend that talked behind your back, that family member that used you and abused you and kicked you out, forgive them and move on. Take those ashes, burn them up, and clean them out and start over, as Pastor Deborah talked about. Because it's not worth it. Because there's a God in heaven who says, today's a new day. I need you to stir your faith up. I need you to fan your flame. I need you to stir the works of the power of God living on the inside of you. You see, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the one who is on fire, passionately in love with you. And guess what? Your family, your friends, your children, he loves them more than you do. And he has their name, he has their number, and he cares for them. So can we press in today? Can we walk out of this meeting and go, okay, God, I'm gonna fan my flame every day. I'm gonna make time to remind myself I'm loved by God and I'm worth it and I'm valuable. Maybe somebody on earth took something from you. Well, guess what? God gives it all back. God restores all things to new. So today, I want you to stir yourself up. I want you to walk out of here with your shoulders back. Put him on, wear him well, love him. Now listen, this is not me saying go get a tattoo on your arm about Jesus, okay? I can just see it now, like Instagram. Pastor Jess told me to go get a tattoo, wear him on my arm. Look at Pastor Jess. Don't do that, don't tag me on it either. But what I am asking is that you get into the Word of God like we've been taught today. Man, if I could learn to memorize 23 books of the Bible, oh my goodness, what is going to come up out of me? Because whatever you put in will be what comes up out of you. My old youth pastor said, you know, you got too much of the world in you to enjoy the world and too much of God in you to enjoy the world and too much of the world in you to enjoy God. You're miserable. So girls, kick the world out and put Jesus in, and let's just learn what his word says, because this will be your anchor in times of need. This will be your anchor in times of tragedy. This will be your anchor in times of brokenness. This will be your anchor, listen to me, on mountaintops when everything's good and you're reaping from the fruit of what you've been doing for the kingdom of God. You still need the word, because this is the truth. This is the way. There's no other way to Jesus. He gave it all for you. And I can't help but think that some of you maybe were checking us out. I don't know what's going on over there behind the scenes. Some of you were checking us out all day and going, I don't know if I want to, you know, raise my hand right now when Marilyn asked for salvation. But I want to give you an opportunity to know the one who loved you so much that when you were born, he said, I love that child. You say, but I was born in a broken place with people who didn't want me. It doesn't matter. He wanted you. And he said, I love that child. You see, you have a destiny, you have a plan, and you have a purpose. And the God in heaven is crying out saying, come back home to the one who created and loved you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.